You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And this evening, unlike the normal double-header Dream Team edition, it's just the single-header Dream Team edition with David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. Nick Kunzer, unfortunately, is very busy with month-end consolidations, shall we put it. But anyway, David, it has been when we were speaking with Bronwyn Nielsen on Twitter Spaces earlier today, I just looked at my list of things that I wanted to talk about. It's been an extraordinary 10, 11 days, hasn't it?
Yeah. It's crazy. You know, when I say crazy, it's, Lindsay, you know, it's very difficult to put it all together and to understand what's happening, because the numbers that are coming out and the issues that are coming out are so ambiguous and so difficult to interpretation.
Yes.
I have to admit that, you know, if we look in the week, I mean, the biggest issue, which I don't know how you measure what's big and what's not, was the actions of the Chinese authorities. Mm. And no one knew how to interpret it. We still don't know what it means. And it causes massive drops in shares. In fact, there was a headline in Bloomberg's that by Wednesday, I think it was the worst bet this year or this decade. I don't know what it is, how they explain the fall in Tencent. And, you know, when you've got clients there, you say, well, what do we do? And you take an action. And then you take action, and then the next thing, it turns the other way. And you say, well, you know, where is this going? What does this all mean? You have to take responsibility for it. But that's not the only one. I mean, if you look at what's happened in other markets as well, you know, we've lived through similar or even worse movements in the 10-year bond in the U.S. You know, we live through this every day in ordinary equity markets. So it does, you know, it can throw you off, and it's there are times where sometimes maybe you need a cold shower and, you know, before you take action and that. But you're right. It's very, very difficult. You know, we can discuss it, but what action to take and what's going to happen tomorrow, I don't think we got a clue. I really don't think we got a clue.
I don't think we have.
I don't mean that. Sorry.
Yes.
I don't want to say, I better qualify that. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, you've got to allow a trend to develop. I say the short-term volatility can drive you mad. You know, that's what I'm saying. We can't really forecast from day to day what's going to happen.
No, of course we can't. It's becoming particularly rarefied at the moment. I mean, how can you have Naspers and Prosus, the two biggest companies on the constituents of the JSE's all-share top 40 index, how can you have them down 7% one day, down 8% the next day, then up 8% the next day? And I don't know what it is today, but at lunchtime it was about 5% higher. Yeah, 3 or 4%. How can this be?
Yeah.
How can this be satisfying, or rather, what's the word I'm looking for? Quantifiable for asset managers and investors. You've got to throw your hands up in the air and say, this is casino-like qualities, not long-term investment qualities.
It is, and it's very disconcerting on clients. You know, in other words, it makes it very difficult, because we're talking about their pensions. You know, we're talking about their savings. And when their savings move like this, or the very part of it, you know, a little bit of it for elderly people, for those people who retired, every few rand makes a difference, because they can't, if they lose it, they can't make it up. They're not earning anymore. So I think for pensioners or people who are older and have retired and that, these kind of movements make things very difficult. You know, and that's the issue. You know, that's a responsibility that we face. Look, you've had the other side. I mean, you know what you've forgotten, or what we haven't looked at today, and I don't know if you picked this up. Let me see if it's where it is at the moment.
Go on.
Was there seems to have been? Let me just see here. Oh, ABN there. Down, 7%.
7%, I mean, why? Yeah. I mean, I know I've stopped drinking beer, but that's just a small percentage of it.
I think, I can't interpret the results. They looked okay. you know, on the face of it, they looked reasonably good. We did have a profit warning. It might be that I know they put price increases up in their premium beers. It could be that they haven't sold enough premium beers and that they still have quite a lot of debt on their balance sheet. These are results that you have to take time to go through. Mm. And we've had days in the last 2 days, you know. I mean, the number of results. Today we had ArcelorMittal,
down 10%.
You know, yeah, you know, we've had all these kind of companies coming out. So it's very difficult to get a good grip on the kind of numbers that come, you know, that come through. So I still have to go through the ABN numbers, you know, to say, okay, what happened? What did I miss? Why did it take such a crack? Mm. After giving us some kind of indication of where the results would be, you know, what is disturbing investors, still have to go into, you know, go into that. But yeah, you know, AB, you know something. If you see, just think about it, Lindsay. Our stocks, ABM Bev, Process, British American Tobacco, Naspers, Richemont, BHP. These are the top capitalized stocks on our market. You know, this makes up the bulk of the JSE market cap. And when you see what we have gone through in these companies over the last few days, it's quite extraordinary. Mm. You know? I mean, it really is all over the place.
Yeah, it is. It must be very difficult for you. But on the other hand, if you were, for example, hosting a presentation being the host of a presentation to certain key clients, you would say, yes, it has been very volatile. And the reason I brought you here today is to look at the big picture and put up a one week or 1 month graph, and then a 3 month graph, and then a 1 year and a 5 year. You'll say, as we get back to the 5 year, look what it's done. These moves register. They're just tiny blips. They don't even register on this graph. So don't worry about it, because the companies that you're invested in are good, solid companies. And this is just the Robin Hood effect.
Well, it is a Robin Hood effect. Now, we're not talking to kids. We're talking to elderly people, maybe in the 60s, 70s, and who don't quite understand the kind of movements that we see in the market at the moment. You know, the hardest thing, as we've said with Nick many times, is handling the expectations of clients.
Yes.
Even though they will identify themselves as being long-term, they look at things on a day-to-day basis. And the movements that they see on a day-to-day basis affect them. And I can tell you that from the number of inquiries I've got about what's been happening on Process and Aspis. So it's not as though people just put it aside and say, I'll look at it at the end of the month. You know, Shapiro knows what he's doing or doesn't know what he's doing. Mm. It doesn't work that way in practice. In fact, it's not easy to find real long-term investors. When things go up, they're fine. When things go down, it can be a bit frustrating. So that's what we have to deal with all the time. And it's an unforgiving population. They're not, you know what I mean? They can be very unforgiving.
Yes, it can be.
It's like a goalkeeper letting a ball through their legs. You know, he might have made some brilliant saves, but you let the ball through. You're forever remembered for that.
Yeah, quite right. They remember the bad things and don't remember the good things. The number of saves you made at the near post and the corners that you caught and all that sort of thing. Yeah, yeah, quite right. Good analogy. David, you know what one thing has started to worry me today? And we've spoken about it before, and we've spoken about it in the context of Process and Naspers and Tencent and the stance towards Chinese tech stocks by the Chinese authorities. Yes. I thought, okay, well, they want to be part of the incredible power that is wielded by these companies, and they want to control it a little bit. And I understand that to a certain extent. But we must never forget, everyone says, oh, isn't China a great opportunity? And yes, of course it is, if you have the right guide, the person that knows, or the asset management company that knows how to navigate the choppy waters of Chinese regulations. But never forget that this is an authoritarian regime. It's not an open, it's not a democracy. Mm-mm. It's a dictatorship. And President Xi has proved that over the last few years, because he's going to be president for life. Okay, so Xi is going to be there all the time. And I saw something today which really scared me. And that was the fact that they have invited leaders of the Taliban to China. and they're shaking hands with people that are obviously a murderous political organization. And I don't want to get too political here, but they are. We know that. And they're taking over Afghanistan at the moment. And yet China says, come and we'll talk. Why is China doing that? Why is China trying to exert its influence politically and economically in Afghanistan and cozying up to the Taliban? I mean, this tells me that they have ambitions beyond what we can even conceive of at the moment.
We don't know what their ambitions are, although they've never disclosed that. They obviously want to exercise power in that region. They Precisely. Want to be the regional power. And what happens is that other than the Taliban, I think most of the other countries or surrounding China want America to be the policeman of the world, but they're quite happy to trade with China. You know what I mean? And that's why America's got to be very careful about how it exerts, I mean, America themselves, what its relationship with China is, because I don't think anybody in that region, first of all, you don't want to offend them. You know, there's already been clashes and a lot of clashes between India and China. You don't really want to offend China, but what you do want to do is trade. So how do you play the two off? And I think it's more difficult for the Americans to position themselves than everybody else. But certainly, you know, when it comes to a standoff, I think the regional people there will probably side with China because of the trade issues.
Yeah.
So the Taliban, I think this is all exerting its dominance in that area.
So it's posturing, in other words. Is that what you're saying? They're posturing.
Totally. Totally. Oh, totally. You know, we'll help you against the Americans because they're scared. Not scared of Americans, but this is, you know, this is, I don't know how to compare it with the Cold War or what happened with Russia, but I mean, this is all a regional posturing, dead right.
Okay.
You know, we're going to be the good guys. What do you need to build up Afghanistan now? The Taliban, you know, you could be the dominant power there. We will help you. Do you need power stations? Do you need this? We're coming in.
Yeah.
So it's...
and then they get together with Pakistan, et cetera. But what is so hypocritical about this? And again, I don't want to offend anybody here, but the Chinese persecute a significant Muslim minority, the Uyghur Muslims, and on the other hand, they're shaking hands with the murderous Taliban on the other side. So they want their cake, they want their cake and eat it. I don't understand it, and I'm very, very disturbed by it. But anyway,
you do. We all do. You know, politics can drive you mad. I mean, it can. It can make you. It can drive you mad, and that's what it is. I don't know. There is no. You know, there is no understanding of it. I avoid it. I just like to look at businesses that are making money and helping us progress and helping society. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Because the rest of it is too difficult for us to understand.
Well, it's a little bit of a sideshow, but obviously, as people that watch the news and keep in touch with global events, you have to keep in touch with it, David. And
you're the one who alerted me to the investigation that's taking place about the January 6th storming of the Capitol.
Yes.
I mean, when you look at those people, this is within America itself. Mm. This is not the enemy. You know, this is America fighting within America itself. How do you explain the actions of those people and the testimony of those, of the guards, of the police, who thought this was the end? I mean, the one policeman who had a heart attack because he was constantly prodded with, what do you call that, a taser gun or one of those electric guns. I mean, this is within the Capitol. This is America. It's, you know, these aren't the Chinese invading America. This is America versus America. So, you know, you look there and just absolutely stunned by what unfolded. No one takes responsibility. The Republican Party have distanced themselves from it and haven't even had, you know, don't want to have a proper investigation into this because of what it might turn out, you know, so what might come out of it. So there you are. That's within America itself. So
I know. And the other thing, I sent it to you this morning. I think it was a tweet from an email from Trump. I'm trying to get it up now. But anyway, what he essentially said was in this, he's trying to raise money, and he says, "We've got a limited supply of these pictures of me at this rally, one of my epic rallies, epic in capital letters, and for $45 minimum, I'm going to sign this thing and send it off to you. But get your money in quickly because we've got a limited supply." Let me tell you about the limited supply. It's limited to how many he can sign. If there's thousands needed, then he'll sign those things. It's unbelievable. Did you see that email? Of course you did.
Yeah, yes. I laughed because... it's depressing. I mean, it's depressing what becomes, because nobody wants to govern. They don't want to make America a great nation. They just want to destroy each other so that they can occupy. You know, this is Game of Thrones. I don't know how else to describe it. And you look on it from an outside point of view, say, and China's probably watching and just laughing and saying, "Well, look, as long as they weaken themselves within our authority, you know, we're in control here. We just get stronger. You know, we just get stronger." And that's the enemy. It's, when I say enemy in inverted commas, that's who they got to worry about, is the growing economic strength and influence of China. And instead, they want to destroy each other. You know, want to implode internally. So that's politics. So that's why I say it's too difficult for me. So we watch the Olympics and we enjoy it, and we enjoy that kind of competition. We can't wait for the soccer season to come because that's a different kind of competition. You know, people kick each other to death, but you enjoy it, you know, because afterwards they shake hands. Yes. When is the season starting? Which is more important?
Well, it depends on what season you're talking about. I mean, my season starts on August the 7th with Ipswich Town at home to the mighty Morecambe. Morecambe is a little seaside town which has got about 30,000 residents, and it's got this team now in the third division. It's gone up from the fourth. So that's it. But I think it's about a week. I think it's maybe a week after, maybe August the 14th it starts, David. And Arsenal hopefully will acquit themselves a little bit more admirably than they did last season, because they were crap last season.
They were terrible. They were terrible. I hope so. I hope they've got a better balance. I haven't looked at the team. They always do wonderfully in the pre-season warm-ups. They've got a lot of skill. Mm-hmm. They've got some very good young players that have come there. Keane, between Tierney, Smith Rowe and Saka. You know, you've got the banking of a nice team, you know, and they're finding defenders. Let's see whether Arteta can do anything, because they have to do it. You know, they have to do something this season. But I look forward to it. I hope that they can. I'm glad that the team is getting younger, you know, and I'm glad that they're making the kind of changes. I just hope they live up to what's expected out of them.
I sent a letter to the Guardian newspaper on their football site. It's a really, really good site. It's called The Fiver, and it's truly excellent. It's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but these journalists really know how to analyse the game of football, the beautiful game, and I sent them a message. And there's a case study going on at the moment. It's all to do with money, because Ipswich has been taken over by an American consortium backed by the Arizona State Pension Fund. And they have sold. They came in there and they said, "Right, this is the new manager. Old manager, goodbye. This is the new team. 20 players they sold. They said, off you go." And they brought in 20 players out of their squad of maybe 30. They just said, "Yeah, I didn't say you're rubbish, but it says you're free to go." So off they went. And they bought so far 10 or maybe 11 to replace them. And people are saying, they're trying to buy the title. And I say, well, as long as it's within the rules, then so what? I mean, Manchester City and Chelsea have done it over the years. Manchester United have done it. Liverpool have done it. So why shouldn't Ipswich? This is a great case study. I mean, I'm trying to get someone to help me write
Speak to the Ipswich supporters.
I will do, yeah. So
what do they say?
No, they love it. I mean, everyone's they're going to have 25,000 people in Division 3 to watch a game against Morecambe, for goodness sake. It's like watching a...
Yeah, but they love it, man. You know, when teams winning, there's nothing that lifts the community more than that. So it has an enormous impact on the community. I mean, we look here in South Africa. We have a a surfer who comes in at a silver medal or in a one gold, one hopeful in the swim in the breaststroke, we get very carried away. Yeah. You know, we just over that. I mean, we don't watch swimming for 4 years. Suddenly, we're all experts in it. You know, we all know more.
Yeah.
Next time we go to swimming, I'm going to be a lot older than I am at the moment.
Well, I won't be speaking to you tomorrow or the next day, David. But what I will say is sorry about the Springboks on Saturday losing the series to the Lions.
Hey,
what is Rassie Erasmus doing? What is he doing with all his rhetoric? I mean, he's being really silly now. He's a fantastic coach and a brilliant former player. Why is he indulging himself in this idiocy?
I don't know why. You know what? There's one thing that I can't stand because it works both ways.
Mm.
Do you know? And it works both ways. Take responsibility for it. You lose, you lose.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. You can see, you can pick up from the game. You can pick up the trend of the game, who should have won and who shouldn't have. And I'm sorry to say, you know, came second half, the Lions were much stronger. They were a much better team, and they clawed their way back. Forget about small infringements. It's going to happen, all these kind of issues. And I don't think he's winning the psychological war. I don't think it's working. I think it's actually working against him. So I don't know.
Anyway, we'll see.
And I love those games because they're great. I don't care. You know what I mean? I don't care who wins. It's just to see two sides of incredible athletes. I mean, when you see these chaps, Lindsay, you know, you go stand next to one of them, you just feel, you know, you feel like not a midget. I don't want to insult anybody. I don't know what the right word is. You just feel so inferior. You just feel such a, and I mean, they are so well trained and beautiful, you know. So to see two teams going at each other, that's the fun of it.
Yeah, it is. It's such a shame that there's no crowd, like there's no atmosphere.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine there was 5,000 Lions fans coming over and spending time in Cape Town and spending their pounds and euros and having loads and loads of fun. It's just very sad. I mean, talking about how big these chaps are, I remember being on a South African Airways flight from Cape Town to Johannesburg or the other way around or something. And I'm sitting, luckily enough, in business class. It was a paid-for ticket. And then these chaps came on and they had to bend down. They couldn't walk in the plane. I mean, I'm tall. I'm 6'4", 6'5", whatever. I've shrunk a bit. But these guys, they were beasts of men. I mean, they're as you say, incredible athletes. Anyway, let's get on with it. Let's get on with the markets. You managed to draw my attention to other things. Anyway, dollar rand is 14.55. British pound against the rand is 20.33. The euro rand is 17.30. The euro dollar is 1.1888 to be precise.
Yeah.
And the dollar has the dollar's fallen by
dollar under pressure
0.7%. Yeah, that's all to do with the Fed last night. Tell me about the
that's
Fed.
Right, exactly.
What happened?
No, look, Powell was very bearish. Not bearish, sorry, dovish.
Mm.
I like him. You know what happens? He's prodded by he's prodded by the media all the time on issues. You know, what are you going to do? So and then they make the headlines around it. But his message was very simple. We're not ready yet.
Mm.
You know, in other words, the economy – and it's came out with the GDP numbers today, 6.5% against expectations of about 8.5%.
Yes.
Government spending wasn't there. You know, there were certain drags on it. And this, and the labor side is still a problem. And there are many reasons for it. And he came out and said, we're not ready yet. In other words, to withdraw it. His stated position is only when we restore jobs, you know, when everybody's restored, all those jobs are restored, will we start to consider it? You know, and so he makes it very clear. He also wasn't worried about inflation, not at all. So, I mean, I'm putting it in simple sound bites, but that's the message. And against that, of course, the dollar has fallen because they're not tightening and rates will not go up, whatever the story is. So that's the kind of background. But I must say, he will be reappointed. I think he's very calm, he's very measured, and he knows where he's going. He answers questions well, and he's taken a very steady stand in a very difficult time. I'm not an economist. I don't understand monetary economics. I can't get into discussion when you get people talking about what the long-term implications are, even discussing inflation. But I think when I listen to him, I feel a lot more comforted that people are, that he's in control and the Fed is in control. And you feel happy that it's in their hands. Lindsay, we know that this is like a patient who's been pumped in with two more steroids. We know the warning on the steroid box. We know what it can do to you. But the alternative is that this just falls into a heap, and that's the last thing that you want. We want to get out of this. We all want to get out of it. We want that normal life again where we can get back to going to the office and going to football matches and so on. And we have to be, so he wants that as well, but he realizes that to get there, they still got to go, follow this path. And I'm okay with that,
Yeah, he did say the key point to me was that he went through a few things, and then he said an interest rate rise is not on the radar at the moment. No. And it was very, very simple, a very, very simple message to the interest rate hawks like myself. Anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Dow Jones.
We all want to be hawks. We want interest rates to go up. We want to be in a position where rates go up, where savers don't have to, you don't realize what the consequences are for elderly people who don't understand the equity market, who are brought up putting their money in the building society or putting their money on interest rate, earning an interest rate that gets them through life. We haven't had this for, I don't know, since 08 or even since the beginning of the century. We haven't had a situation where people can actually go back to what was the traditional means of savings, a good old building society or interest rates, and that you live off the the returns that you get. That hasn't, we haven't kept that for years. First it was the subprime crisis, and now it's been this health crisis. So yeah. I would love to go to a situation where I could put my money in a retirement fund and say, I don't have to watch this market anymore, talk to Lindsay, talk to Bronwyn, I can just go sit there and do what,
You'll never be in that dire situation, no. Heaven forbid. David, Dow Jones, S&P and NASDAQ, all up around about 0.5% at the moment, gaining momentum. I think people sat down last night and said, Facebook said that it's not going to be as good next year or next quarter as it has been. And then sitting down and saying, but wait a second, look at these numbers. Look at Apple. Look at even YouTube. Look at Microsoft. And these numbers are extraordinary. And even if they come back, even if their income doesn't increase by 56% as it did quarter on quarter, the numbers released last night from Facebook, they're still going to be up 25, 30, 35%. These are staggering, astonishing numbers.
I know. They are remarkable. And this is not Exxon. This is not Ford Motor Company, General Motors. Haven't been around for 100 years. These are relatively new businesses that were started from scratch.
That's what I thought about. This is only 10, 15, 20 years ago. They've suddenly exploded.
But Zuckerberg's in his 30s. He's not 40, is he?
Hate him.
I don't know how old he is.
No, I hate him. I hate him. No, I don't at all. No. I think he's brilliant. Whether you like the way or hate the way that he got the business going and from that film. What was that film called? The origins
social
of Facebook.
Media, what is it called?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, or something
wait,
like that.
Wait.
Look it up. But anyway, he's not the most likable character, but on the other hand, hats off to him.
We hate successful people,
Three billion people use a Facebook platform at least once a month. 3 billion.
Not 3 million. It's crazy.
Billion.
You can't replace that.
No.
No matter what governments say, you can't replace that. And you have to use it. If you want to advertise and you want to get to your people, you advertise that way. It's any business today has a Facebook page, and you will go onto Facebook to see the latest news from that particular business. So, it's a very powerful tool. And I don't see anything replacing it for some time. I think the same applies to Google as well, no matter what the authorities believe. It's going to take a monumental effort to get them, to change that.
Quite so.
He's a big, and yeah, Yeah, it's credit to them. And as I spoke about earlier, what these companies do, they do look for new avenues, and they're constantly developing new areas in which they can earn income, you know, whether it's social, whether it's e-commerce, whatever it is, videos, chatting. It's just constantly changing all the time. So you wait, you watch, you see what's happening. And that today is the American economy. It's remarkable. I just look and when I see the numbers, and we're sitting here chatting about AB InBev, which is not a small company, you know.
Yeah, we're worrying about Imperial Logistics and those sort of things. I mean, the total market cap of Merafi, for example, is how much Amazon earns in an hour or something. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, let's have a look at the commodities now. Talking about Merafi, the gold price is doing very well indeed. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's $1,830, which is up $30 an ounce, 1.6%. The palladium price is up $41 an ounce to $26.61, and platinum is at $10.66. The Battle of Hastings, up $2, 0.2%. And let me give you the oil price, because that's also having a good day. 1% up for the West Texas crude, $73.08 per barrel, and Brent crude oil is just over 1% higher at $75.51. Bitcoin, just below 40,000. I mean, this thing is 29,000, 29,500. It's now 40,000. That's astonishing. The South African bond yield doing very nicely, actually, 8.87, which is more or less unchanged. Yeah. What else have we got here? The US 10-year bond yield, in the wake of what the Fed said last night, let's call it 1.26%. Nothing going on there. Your bet is safe, David Shapiro. S&P futures, I gave you the spot prices. S&P futures also up around about 0.5%. What have you seen today? I mean, tell me a little bit about Anglo-American.
I think Anglo-American is just an outstanding result.
Amazing.
We're having this battle all the time. You know, I'm just saying, to me, it doesn't look like this has peaked yet. I know a lot of analysts, and we discuss it all the time, that this is going to fall, you know, fall. And I think the market prices are discounting lower commodity prices, fall off in demand. I don't know. I just don't see it at the moment. And, you know, I'm more inclined to be bullish than I am to be bearish at these kind of levels. And if you go through Kutafani's report, I mean, everything pumped in, from copper to iron ore to copper, iron ore, platinum. I mean, but in a big way, not just up. I mean, we're talking fourfold. So it's been a remarkable set of results, you know, over the last 6 months to a year. And I think this will continue, and it's going to give South African economy a little bit of a boost. It's not enough to offset all the other issues that are dragging down, dragging down our economy, from what happened in KZN to to the pandemic, to lockdowns, and so on. But still, I mean, it's just given us a bit of relief, or something to something to cheer about. We're doing this with the stock exchange. We're doing a seminar. There are about six of us have got to choose three stocks for a seminar, and there's Delphine, Mia's on it, myself, Bright, whatever it is, and I'm going the Barlow World route, you know, AECR, those companies that are going to benefit from the amount, from this new spend that's going to take place from mining. I'm not saying that, you know, we've discussed they're not building new mines, but they are spending on, they are spending. So they'll buy new overalls or boots or as they mine, they have to continually buy supplies. And I think that's where the gains are going to be made. You know, any mine has to blast AECI and need chemicals, blah, blah, blah. So I think that's where there's a little bit of a sweet spot in our market.
Very good. Anglo-American pays out a record $4.1 billion to shareholders for the first half. And this brings me to another point, which we mentioned earlier on Twitter Spaces with Bronwyn. I said The first thing is that the South African miners are becoming more responsible. They're not the cavalier frontiersmen that they used to be. They are now corporates. They're proper corporates that have a look at the money. I mean, whether you know whether they're basing their model on what a bank does or a retailer does. The fact is, they're not behaving like miners anymore and going out and buying anything as soon as they get a bit of money. And the interesting thing about that is that's the first point. Well done to them for the accountants that are now running the companies, along with obviously the frontier attitude to. Trying to find a new mine and a new deposit and exploiting it, which of course they have to do. But on the other hand, the fact that they're not going out there and trying to dig up anything that looks like a decent hole in the ground, sort of constrains supply, David, which means that the prices stay high. So there's not much new supply coming on board here.
No. If you can name a big project that any of the large miners have gone to in the last few years,
thank you. Yeah,
I can't. I'm talking Rio Tinto, BHP, Anglo's, Glencore, anything like other than Glencore buying a coal mine. Mm. But I mean, there's no, you know, from BHP and who you know, where was it in South America and Colombia? But there's, I can't think of any other project. But that wasn't a new project; they were just buying out the other shareholders. But there's, I can't think of any major new mine that is, in development.
Mm. Probably behind the scenes. Anyway. Probably behind the scenes there are.
But what they've got,
But it's,
there's no new project.
I'm telling you, this is a commodity. I'm not telling you. I'm suggesting, and it's my personal opinion, that the commodity cycle has a lot further to run.
Yeah.
Okay, on the JSE today, Royal Bafokeng Platinum is at the top of the list, up 4.6%. Very interesting company. Anglo American PLC. God, this is a big company. It's 672 Rand a share. It was 53 Rand a share a few years ago. 4.3% higher. Implats, 4.3% higher to 266 Rand per share. Naspers up 4.1% after yesterday's massive move to the upside. Process, just below 4% higher. On the downside, AB InBev, not doing so well at all, down nearly 7%. down that's nearly 7%, that's huge. PSG Consult down 2%, Tiger Brands down 1.9%, and British American Tobacco, so the smokers and the drinkers not coming to the party today. British American Tobacco down 1.75%. Any other shares outside of that? Maybe ArcelorMittal, David?
I'm just going to
have a quick look at that one for me.
I want to look at, I'm just looking outside of the big ones, if there were any.
Well, that's ArcelorMittal, it's a penny stock.
Yeah. Well, Pan African Resources, this is one of these, also a company that's a very good gold miner, 7.6%, Caxton 7%, City Lodge 6%. Nice. Yeah. Then, they've been, you know, there's that Alpha Min as well. I mean, we've got a few miners that have really done well. Pan African is one of them. But the other one is this Alpha Min, which mines tin, which I had dismissed as a non-event some time ago in the DRC. But the price has trebled over the last few months.
Wow.
Well, tin they use in tech to solder. Oh. So, I thought that's where the cans that they put coo into. That from
Tiger where do they use tin in tins? That's why they're called tins.
No, they're not. They're aluminium. What are they today? I'm sure they do. I haven't bought baked beans for a long time, so I'm not quite sure what they come in.
And you don't buy tomatoes or anything like that? No, you don't. Tin tomatoes? No. Well, you don't. Like, Linda probably does. But anyway,
no. No, fresh produce from Woolworths.
Yeah, right.
At six times the price.
There's nothing fresh about Woolworths produce, trust me. David, please give me the closing JSE indices, if you will.
I shall, if I could find it. The All Share Index up 1.52%.
Not bad.
No, it's very good. Top 40 up 1.65%. Resources 2.5% or 2.6%, great. The banks up flat, 0.3%. Consumers actually flat. Now, that was a standoff between Naspers Process and the falls in British American Tobacco, Richemont, and AB InBev. So you had that. That was the offset effect. That's why consumers were down. Property down as well today. Most of them down. I haven't really looked at that segment. But overall, a very good day. Let me just give you the volumes because this has been bothering me.
Value traded. Really, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, still 20 billion. You know, just round to with Naspers process still making up 31-odd% of the market.
That's ridiculous. And imagine if you had the S&P 500 daily value traded, and then someone said, well, it was all Facebook and Apple and Netflix. There would be something done about it, I think.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, it's something we've lived with. I mean, it's been a success story, but I think it is causing a few anxiety in our moments now. It's a thank goodness for the miners that have just helped us offset what the kind of fall. Look, it's done its bit in the last few years. So, you know, we would always say, oh, if it wasn't for Naspers process, the JSE would have been down so much. And now it's gone the other way.
David Shapiro is from Sasserin Securities, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. David will be back with me on Monday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.